We make our beginning in the name of the triune God who has brought us life and gives to us life everlasting. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind feast on the abundance of your house. For with you is the fountain of life. Today our Father invites us to enter into his presence and experience his miraculous presence. That shows itself, first of all, in forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So let us come before him in repentance and faith, beginning with the time for silent prayer. Holy God, merciful Father, we confess that we have not followed our Savior as we ought. By what we have done and by what we have failed to do, we have not honored you in lives of holiness. Purify our hearts, merciful Father, through the presence of Jesus Christ, that we be blessed with the fullness of the forgiveness he freely, graciously, and generously offers to us all. Jesus stands in your midst and speaks into your ears the word of life that brings healing to your souls. God provides freely, in abundance, and taking care of our greatest needs. Therefore, it is my privilege to announce to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Our God is greater.
Lord could stand against. And if our God is for us, then who could stand against us? And if our God is with us, then who could stand against? Then who could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healing, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healing, awesome in power, our God, our God.
The Old Testament lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 62. God is the bridegroom to his people. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God gives the gifts of his Spirit for the common good. St. Paul writes, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of the tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to forefathers by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
Places.
Just a quick note on that song. It was written by our guitar player, Larry Zimdahl, and he has written a few of the songs that they share with us from time to time. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of our Lord. God's grace, mercy, and peace to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words from the end of the Old Testament lesson. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Late last year, I was trying to rectify 2 different calendars that I try to keep. If I don't do this, and even sometimes when I do, I end up having something on one calendar at the same time as something on the other at the exact same time. My one calendar is, I'll use the term my family, my home calendar, you know, all the different events that we have, company that's coming down. And it included for this weekend my oldest daughter's wedding. We've had family down here since Wednesday, and boy, it's been quite a weekend. But in the midst of all of that, I took a look at that, and I knew how much of a weekend this was going to be. But since the rehearsal was Thursday, wedding Friday, instead of the usual Friday, Saturday, I'm like, I think we can still fit worship into the midst of this weekend. But then I started looking at the scripture lessons that we're going to be going through, and I started taking a look at what was going on, and I noticed something. Here on the weekend of my daughter's wedding, what is the gospel lesson about for today? A wedding. And there are times in all of our lives where I think, like, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing here? Well, so be it. I could talk on and on about the experience of a wedding, especially as it relates to having your daughter married off. It's a unique experience, to say the least. Nevertheless, in the midst of what happened with our own family wedding, we have this amazing occurrence where Jesus, his first miracle, is at a wedding. Now, okay, considering it, he heals the sick, gives people even born blind their sight, and the deaf can hear, and those that were unable to talk can talk, those unable to walk can walk, even raised some people who had died. This was no less of a miracle. From the beginning of time until now, and if it's another 2,000 plus years from the time that we have today until the Lord comes back, we don't know how long it's going to be. But no matter how long it is, we are never going to be able to gain the ability to do what our Lord did. Not just to produce wine out of water, fine wine out of water. And the Lord is always going to share with us his absolute best. Now, early on, it sure doesn't seem that way. You know, there were times earlier this week when I was beginning to wonder, you know, in the midst of all of the other distractions, was this wedding ever going to come off? Still, in the midst of what Jesus did, I don't ever see myself talking to my mother the way he did to hers. Woman, what does this have to do with me? My time has not yet come. Well, her response was perfect. Understanding who she had at this wedding feast. And her response was one where she could go to the people and say, doesn't matter how strange it might seem, doesn't matter what he asked you to do or when or how you're supposed to accomplish it, but whatever he tells you to do, do it. And from that then comes the most remarkable thing. Now, does a wedding really need an additional, do the math, 150 gallons of wine? Well, the simple fact, folks, is that a wedding was a true celebration. It went on for days. I mean, sadly, my guess is that the way our family wedding kind of unfolded is the way a lot of them do. You know, we started getting company coming down on Wednesday, and we had people that were here at worship, and one of my family members actually played the organ. One of my own son played the trumpet as an accompaniment. There were about 10 or 15 of us that constituted a choir that sang the final benediction. But now, we've had the rehearsal, the wedding, and almost all of them are gone. Back into their lives. My brother texted me just right at the end of the Sunday school hour to say they landed in Madison, Wisconsin. It was 1 degree below zero. Don't ever again complain about Florida weather. And just that fast, the celebration is over. But the Lord had better plans. You know, when you go back to where marriage began, as the Lord God takes a rib out of the man, and from that creates a woman, and he brings her to the man, and he says, "This at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That first marriage comes in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 2. The fall into sin doesn't happen until Genesis chapter 3, which means that the institution of marriage actually predates the fall into sin. Now, I'm not in any way suggesting here that, you know, if we carry out our marriages exactly the way that we're supposed to, somehow we're going to transcend sin. That's not going to happen. But what it says is, just imagine what the Lord had in store for the institution of marriage, for the bringing together of a man and a woman in the bonds of holy marriage. God's plans for marriage, husband, wife, family, that would be worth a celebration that goes on for days and days. And just as we see the Lord's presence in a magnificent way at the beginning, in a miraculous way where he made sure that his first miracle took place at a wedding. And friends, don't think in any way, shape, manner, or form. That's coincidence. It is not. Our Lord wanted to give his blessings. First of all, to the institution that began before sin. And at the end of time, what's waiting for us? Frequently it is called in our church the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Then on the last day, we're going to get to celebrate a marriage feast that isn't going to end. Is an earthly type wine going to be a part of it? I don't know how that's going to carry out, but we do know that the heavenly bridegroom, who paid the price of his own life to rescue from sin, death, and the devil his bride, the church, that reunion is going to come into its fullness on the last day. The Lord is going to be excited. That's what our text was all about. Something so very, very special. Now, in the face of that, what should be our reaction? Well, remember these things. First of all, just as the gospel lesson begins talking about how the mother of Jesus was invited to the ceremony, well, and obviously, in a state where sometimes scripture states the obvious, so was Jesus. Now, I'm not just talking about weddings here, folks, but to make sure that Jesus is a part of our lives, of the things that we do, he never once forgot to include us in the things, especially of the things that were most important to him, especially when he gave up his life, especially when he gave us of his life in his true body and blood, especially when he commissioned us to go and make disciples by baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. If he never forgot to include his bride, we don't dare forget him. We make sure that he is a part of everything in our lives because, well, his presence is there anyways. Don't forget about it. Also, don't forget what he has done for you. In our second lesson for today, it talks about spiritual gifts, and St. Paul is trying to give a quick synopsis, a quick summary, if you will, of some of the different spiritual gifts. If you think that's an exhaustive list, that it covers a good bit of the spiritual gifts that he has for us, think again. The gifts of the Spirit, which touch our hearts and soul and gives to us the things that we need. Yes, they are as individual as you are. But make no mistake, God has given to you in abundance. Not just with the things of this world, not just with the things that we need so that we can survive in the world. with spiritual gifts to be used in his kingdom. If he gives them to us, use them. My message is called the Lord's Ready Spiritual ATM. And look, I understand. An actual ATM is far less important now than what it used to be, because as long as we're working with our bank accounts and anything like that, whether you got a chip card and can get some things at the grocery store and get change, whether you are able to just do things online where you just have to take something and tap it or press a button. But regardless of how it is that we receive, you know, what we receive from the Lord is just as ready, just as at hand, just as ready, not just to meet your needs, but as the Lord gives us the spiritual gifts that we need, they are always gifts that are going to be useful in God's kingdom. We must always remember that. The gifts of the Spirit are gifts that allow us to be able to share the best of God in the body of Christ that he has given to us. And then, finally, understand what this marriage is all about. I know that whenever we're talking about marriage, we can sometimes have some fun about, quote, who's going to be the boss in the house, about who's going to be taking care of what, who's going to be assigned the various duties that need to be done in any household. But a marriage is far more than that. And we even learn from Jesus that as he brought the woman to the man, all of a sudden marriage becomes the essence of what is going to bind us to each other from generation to generation, and also what's going to bind us to him. Even as he gives to us life, he uses marriage to be that vehicle by which life, part of what is going to be the church, the bride of Christ, is going to continue from generation to generation to generation. Always understand that no matter what it is that we can do, we'd like to do, we need to do, it's best because of our sins that we figure out a way to do. That our Lord has done everything in this marriage first. Not just because he accomplished his job on the cross 2,000 years ago, but because as God eternal, he was the one that set the plan. And the plan eventually had to include how he was going to win back his bride. Well, friends, as the church, as that gathering of God's people invisible that call upon their Lord and Savior in faith, we are that heavenly bride. And I hope that we are looking forward to something, because God, who loved his son so much that he sent his son into the world to die for us, now his son is preparing that special place by which we are going to spend an eternal honeymoon, an eternal wedding feast. What it is that brings that about may not always be pleasant. Both death and that being which is the wages of sin, still it becomes the victory by which we are reunited to Christ. Friends, Jesus performed his first miracle, changing water into wine at a wedding. At our weddings, at our celebrations, at our worship, at our times of prayer, at our moments, marriage and family, at work, wherever, may we always remember what God has given to us in such great abundance, and prepare ourselves for the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's on the screen. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. And as those offerings are being received, we have the song, Awesome God.
Up his sleeve, he ate just putting on the ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There is thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist. Our God is an awesome God. And though Herod wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden, it wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven of all witness. On earth, Lord, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven of all witness. On earth, Lord, our God is an awesome God. The sky was starless in the void of the night. Our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. The judgment of the king poured out of Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom and power. For our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom.
Please stand for prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given the light of your truth in Jesus Christ, that we may have life in his name. We thank you that you have made us alive through faith in him, that you have united us as members of his body, the church, the heavenly bride that has been brought back by the heavenly bridegroom who gave up his life for each of us. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer. Make us who are your people shining lights in the world's darkness. Help all in your church to join hands utilizing the spiritual gifts in love and zeal to do that which is set before us. Make us always filled with hearts and eagerness in serving our Lord, patient in every trouble, joyful in our promised hope, loyal to help our fellow Christians, ready to share with all in need, and always holding on to what is good. Grant that we who are called out of darkness into Christ's marvelous light may in this way proclaim his saving love and power among us. Bestow a special measure of your grace on our homes. As our Lord blessed the family gathering in Cana by his presence and showed his miraculous power and glory at their wedding feast, grant that he may be the heavenly guest also in all our homes, the guardian of every family's faith and life. Bless all who live together in the bonds of marriage. Help them to serve one another in love, to treat each other with honor, to demonstrate the united spirit of those who are one flesh. We ask your mercy, O God, for all who are in any special need of body or soul. We now lift up before you someone in our lives who is in need of the strength and comfort and support and help that you give, that we now name before you silently in a private moment. Show them the comfort of your love. Give them hope instead of despair, joy and gladness instead of grief, and a song of praise instead of sorrow. Defend us now and always until that moment when you will call us from this life to the heavenly banquet, the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom that has no end. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude at the top of page 6 in our service folders, or again up on the screen as we pray together. Almighty and merciful God, we have again worshipped in your presence and received both forgiveness for our many sins and the assurance of your love in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this undeserved grace and ask you to keep us in faith until we inherit eternal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.